kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I want to exhort you this evening in the word, teaching that we have had since we started to walk by faith and the deeper life. And the Lord reminds us and takes us over the things that we have heard and learnt in the past, and it is always amazing how we learn something new. Praise God. And we're calling this teaching tonight, Doubt Imprisons Faith. Doubt imprisons faith. I think we would all be of the agreement that none of us would like to go to prison. It restricts us. It cuts us off from life, family, our jobs, community, and so on. They are not nice places to be in by any means. And yet, that is what we can do with our doubts and our unbelief. We actually imprison our faith. We spiritually are put in prison. And the word of God says that if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. God has never saved us to be imprisoned by our doubts, our unbelief, and our bad confession. And yet, that is what we do at times. There are many who believe on the Lord, and yet they are imprisoned with regard to their walk of faith. And that is why God, in his mercy and grace, has given to us the Deeper Life teaching over the years. Its message has never changed. It is always the same and always will be until the Lord comes for us, because it is his word. And I think we are all of agreement that as the times are approaching and we're seeing the great falling away, how our faith is so vital to be able to stand in these last days. For many are confused, many are in fear, many are running back, they are compromising, but what we have learned over the years continues to make us go forward, whatever the situation, how bad it ever looks, or what the enemy is suggesting. Our faith, the deeper life, is in nature to keep us moving forward. We are marching, we are walking with the Lord. And that is what fellowship covenant is about. There are so many Christians who will agree and say, yes, fellowship is important with the Lord. I want a fellowship, to fellowship with God. I want a relationship with him. But they fail to understand that it means you also walk with him. And wherever he goes, you go also. And he very often goes in places and areas that you would never go. And that is why God has to deal still with these doubts and unbelief that imprisons our faith. Because when you are imprisoned, you can't have full access and fellowship with the Lord. You can't move and walk with him. Why? Because you are imprisoned spiritually by your doubts. So we stress that this evening with regard to what we're going to look at. A lot of it you do know. And we know that to deal with our doubts, we have to line our confession with the word of God. For as we know in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God is ever addressing, reminding and challenging us that our confession each day must line up with God's word. Because it says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it goes on, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's speaking about Christ who died and rose again. It is speaking about the Lord. And when you speak about the Lord, it's referring to the Lord. It's referring to him who is the Word. We're told in the Gospel of chapter 1 that he was the Word and the Word was made flesh. What is the Word? It is the promises. It's what you read in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And so that is also vital in believing what only Christ has forgiven us, our sins. We are now seated with him in heavenly places, and we believe and confess unto righteousness, which means that you have a right standing before God. And all of this comes out of the mouth of our confession, which also includes wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. That is what our salvation is. And so in order for us to have wholeness in mind, body, and spirit, that requires promises that we stand upon, believe and confess, whether it be the mind of Christ or casting down those wrong thoughts that affect the mind. That is a confession of faith. Or whether we're believing for healing for our bodies, that is a confession of faith. Or whether I'm believing for that new job, or that house that God will bless me, or whatever it will be, that is also confession of faith. It just goes on, because we are confessing the Word of God. And when we confess the Word of God, we are confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are confessing our salvation, our new birth in Jesus Christ. You can't separate any of this, which a lot try and do. And that is why, with regard to confession, we have Mark 11:24, which we know so very well, 23:24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, here it is, confession, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Twice it speaks about confession. The same word that is in Romans 10:10, to confess, to line up your confession with God's word, what he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Three times in those two verses, it speaks about speaking, confessing. I believe he's trying to get our attention in those two verses, because he's showing that doubt imprisons our faith. And this is the problem. We're actually in prison. We're locking it away. Faith cannot be locked away and imprisoned. That is not the nature of faith at all. What does it say in 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 12, 13. 1 Timothy 6, 12 to 13. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, and so on. So it speaks about a good confession. Jesus never altered his confession under condemnation. Going to the cross, he never tried to excuse himself or get himself out of the situation. He didn't. He lined his confession with God's will. And when challenged to who you are, I am the Christ. That was it, signing his death warrant. And because he lined his confession with his Father, doing his Father's will, he was able to be raised up from the dead. You see. And that is why God allows us to go through the trials and testings, because he is showing that doubt is imprisoning our faith. And the doubts come up in the trials, not when you're feeling fine and everything's okay, or we have a blessed meeting like this and praise God for it. The doubts arise in the trials. And this is where God delivers us. You may say to me, well, I hear myself bring out a negative confession. I hear myself completely speaking the opposite that is in the Word of God. That is where you have to humble yourself. Deal with that pride, because often with doubt and unbelief, there is pride that is attached to it. And that is what God is getting to, so that you can confess it. You are grieved by it. You are shocked by it. Lord, I have spoken opposite to what your word says in this situation. Forgive me. I'm grieved by this. It doesn't line up with your word. Deal with this pride, this doubt, this unbelief that is imprisoning my faith. I am not walking as I should. That is where you start getting deliverance, because the trial that you go through is designed to bring that deliverance, to get you to be honest before God. And we're not. And the only person you are kidding is yourself. And the devil has a hold on us until we repent. And we ask for God's mercy. Lord, I want my confession lining up in these trials, these tests, or this trial that I'm going through. I'm hearing when the heat's really turned up, I'm hearing what comes out of my mouth, and it is opposite to your word, you see. And those doubts are imprisoning your faith. That is what it's doing. What does James tell us? Let's turn to the book of James. He has much to say about all of this. James chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. James chapter 1 and verses 6 to 7. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And that's what doubt does. It makes us unstable. We're not stable in every situation that we meet ourselves in. You may be not stable as you should be at work, or you're not stable as you should be when you're with family. Because you are with family, you don't want to look different or odd by confessing a good confession. It's called compromise. We all do it. And that doubt imprisons the faith. We're to ask in faith, he says, with no doubting. And he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. It wouldn't be wrong when you ask in faith for something that along with it, Lord, have mercy on me, help me that I can maintain that confession in whatever situation I'm in or whoever I'm facing, that I don't compromise, that my confession continues to line up with your word. Help me with this for your glory. Have you ever asked God for that? To help you? So that you don't imprison your doubts? He will do that. Because he says, don't let a person think that they will receive anything from the Lord. And he means what he says, you're not going to receive anything. You may talk about faith, you may listen to the faith teaching and deeper life, but you're not going to receive anything. What is the point? What is the point of the meetings? What is the point in coming and listening if we're not going to receive? Because our doubts are imprisoning our faith. It's because of this pride, this independent spirit. And this is where we have to bow the knee and get the devil off our back, who's holding us in those doubts and fears and so on. God hasn't made this difficult. We make it difficult. And that is the problem. You see, our faith will never rise above the level of our confession. Because as we're showing you, your doubts imprison your faith. So your faith, your confession never rises above it. You're just confessing and talking like the world does. And all the doubts and unbelief and the worries and the anxieties and what God can't do today. Sadly, in the house of God and amongst many Christians, all you hear is what he can't do today. And that is their confession. Because they're not allowing the word of God to get hold of their lives and hearts. They don't believe in the promises of God. And we're just imprisoning our faith. That's why it says in Proverbs 6:2 that we are snared by the words of our mouth. What comes out? And we've shown you in the Hebrew what that means. It means that the enemy traps you. He sets a bait, a trap, to hold you in a vice. That is what your confession does that doesn't line up with the word of God. You're hindered, you're trapped. Here it is, imprisoned by your faith, your confession. Faith will always agree with God's word. And that's why we have that Greek word, homologio, which we know so well here, which means to agree, to speak the same language. I am speaking the same. I am speaking what God has said in his word and these promises. That's why we learn them. That's why we put them up on our wall or we underline them in the Bible. They are to be spoken, agreed with. And that is why God allows us to go through the trials and the testings of our faith. Because it's in the trials you'll know whether you are confessing or not. Or you're confessing what you are seeing, what you're hearing, what the enemy is trying to do, you see. Faith looks beyond that. Faith is not hindered by those mountains, those obstacles, whatever it looks like. You confess and line up your confession with what God says. And we know that the enemy gets so vocal and he'll keep telling you, see, it doesn't work. It didn't work with that brother, that sister. They didn't get what they were believing for, or they didn't get their healing. And the trouble is we listen to the enemy, don't we? And we use it as an excuse for us not to step out and believe. What are we doing? Those doubts are imprisoning our faith. It's because we're still not persuaded by what we are reading. What is the point of reading God's word each day if you are not persuaded? You are not getting faith from that which you hear, what you read. Romans 10:17. That is how faith comes. This book is anointed. No other book ever written is anointed except the Word of God. That is why it is so unique and so different from any other book. This is revelation that you hold in your hands. And God unfolds that revelation to your mind, to your heart, that you understand it, that these promises are made for you. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal this. And that is why so many don't believe. Because they approach it in the flesh, in the carnal, with the carnal mind, and you can't. It is by the Spirit, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is spiritual. And when you are born again of the Spirit, you are now spiritual. You are of a new spirit, a new creation. And that new creation is for the word of God to glean your faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, when faith is present, it will produce the works of faith. And that is the whole point. We look for any opportunity in which to confess, to believe, to act our faith. That's why I always say we come to these meetings regular. That is acting our faith for the word of God that is going to deal with these doubts that imprison my faith. I always keep saying, keep coming, keep listening, and you get your deliverance. You'll be set free from prison because it will drop from the head to the heart. Too many Christians give up too quick. But our faith will always produce the works, as it says in James 2 and verse 17. In James 2 and verse 17, he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And that's what he said. He's absolutely right. He said, if there's no works with faith, it is dead. No life. It's imprisoned, in other words. That's what we're talking about today. Doubt imprisons faith. I'm reminded of those in Hebrews 11 who walked, who confessed a good faith. They spoke their confession of faith. They walked it, they expressed it. And we have them in the Word of God, those who walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that by faith Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it was accepted by God. By faith, Noah, we're told, prepared an ark. For 120 years, he moved and walked by faith, preparing that ark that was going to save his family. There he was acting his faith. We're told that by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, was willing to offer him up to God. His faith was active. By faith, Moses, we're told, he forsook Egypt, a comfortable life in the courts of Pharaoh. He acted his faith. And that's why when true faith is present, we will always act on it. And when you see the promises of God, you know that the manifestation will come in God's timing. But it'll only come when we're acting our faith in agreement, confessing with God's word. And if it comes next week or it comes in a year's time or more, it doesn't matter. You are believing, you are confessing. You are holding on. Your confession doesn't change. And this is often why God allows you and me to go through these various trials. Because the trials are going to tell you where you are in the faith. And very often, the trial exposes the unbelief that is in us. And we hear it because it comes out of our mouth. And that is doubt. And that doubt is imprisoning your faith. And God says, it's got to be removed. I'm going deep. That's why in trials, God goes deep. Right down into the crevices of our heart that we don't know about, because we don't know our hearts. We don't know what is there, but God does. And what we do is we say, Lord, search us, search our hearts. For that very purpose, when saints ask God to search their hearts, they are meaning business with regard to faith and their walk with God. Because what they're asking is, there's doubt there, there's unbelief there. Expose it, Lord. Bring it out. Give me that deliverance for your glory. And the Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. so that you will line your confession up with God's word. You are agreeing with what he says, that my God will provide all my needs according to his riches. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But it's seeking first the kingdom and not the kingdom of self. It is all there. We don't have to walk in poverty and like paupers. God wants to richly bless us so that we likewise can bless others. That is the purpose for blessing. God wants us to have abundance so that we can help others who are struggling, or those young in the faith who have not come yet to that place of faith. It's not for us to hold it to ourselves, to become fat and obese spiritually. Not at all. I'm all for prosperity, but we've seen where it's gone so wrong these days by many preachers. And there's no cross that is attached to it, which we are to take up daily and follow to deal with the self-life. But we know what we're believing. We know what we're teaching here. As we say so often, it's free, but it's not cheap. But God wants these doubts removed. And it's vital now, as things are moving rapidly like they are, the near coming of the Lord, the state of the world, wars, rumours of wars, just as Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. It's all happening and it's around us. How much more now do we need these doubts removed from our faith? Because as it gets worse in the world, which it is doing, you are going to see hearts, many hearts, failing them because of unbelief, a lack of faith. But God will not have that of us. And this is why we heed, we listen to what the Spirit is saying. Because the times we're living in now are very serious. And God is raising up overcomers who are going to stand in these trials, who are going to have a good confession. They're not going to alter their confession because of what's happening or what's going on around or the news or whatever it would be. Not at all. We will continue to line up our confession with God's word. And the way we do it, as I close now, is we humble ourselves. We are honest before the Lord. We are honest to the fact, Lord, there is still doubt and unbelief in me. And it grieves me. I cannot rest with this. God will begin to move. He'll begin to answer that prayer. Whatever it would be, he'll do it because he loves us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to inherit these promises that he has given in his word. When you receive Christ, you receive his promises. He is the word made flesh. You cannot divide any of this. Most Christians just see it as salvation. It's far more than that. It's about your inheritance. Heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We looked at that on Sunday. You have a wealth deposited into your account. You now can draw from it. That's what it means to be a joint heir with Christ. And here it is, these promises that you draw from. But you're not drawing from them because there's still doubts, unbelief that gets in the way. And this is why God says he will circumcise these hearts and change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. If there's doubt, unbelief in you, it is a clear sign there's still areas of your heart is still hard and it needs to be softened, changed, because that is where love works faith and faith needs love. The two work together. And remember as I close, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It is maturing, it is growing. And that is why God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. He wants us to believe. He wants us to have a sound faith that doesn't waver. Now let him do it. He has spoken very clear and direct to us today. And he is showing that there are things still to be removed with regard to our faith. Don't fight him. Just yield over and do what he asks, what he shows. And you're going to find that your walk as a Christian is going to begin to take on a new form, a new light. This is why a lot of Christians get bored and fed up and depressed because nothing's happening. And this is the problem. They listen to their doubts. They're imprisoned. And that's what prison does. It brings depression, no joy of the Lord in their life. That's what prison does. But Christ has come to deliver us from prison, to set the captives free, to open the prison doors. That is exactly what he's come for. Do you want your prison door open? Of course you do. Who doesn't? Then let him do it. So that is what we've been looking at today. Doubt imprisons faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you want us to get it right for your glory. Lord, whatever we've heard, whatever has spoken to us, Lord, may we act our faith upon it. May we seek your face through this word and these doubts and unbelief be dealt with, Lord, once and for all. Because we know it's imprisoning us. It's imprisoning our faith. And you've given us your promises. You've sealed it with the blood of the Lamb. You've given your approval. You have baptized us in the Holy Spirit and sealed us. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you have revealed today. And I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Follow the master.